You can also listen to podcasts of all of our local shows on demand and get news and traffic alerts. Listen to local talk shows in the morning and afternoon drive, and we're Pensacola's home for Brian Kilmeade. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Morning, 640 here on News Radio 92.3. We're expecting a bit of weather later on in the morning, 10 o'clock-ish, and then moving through about 3 o'clock today. So rain, wind, possible hail is what Alan Strum said last night. So, yeah, serious weather later on today. For now, we have Michelle Salzman on the line. She is our House representative in the state legislature, District 1. That's the northern two-thirds, half, whatever. I mean, depending on whether you're talking geographically or population-wise, of Escambia County. Michelle, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Good morning. So I want to start with the one that people probably don't know as much about, that they haven't heard as much news coverage about, that I think a lot of them would be like, okay. HB 1543, you are a co-sponsor on this bill. This is the one that would undo one of the four key provisions of the post-Parkland bill that would allow people at the age of 18 to buy and transfer firearms instead of the current age of 21, right?
Yes, yeah, it's a great bill. Certainly, certainly all American.
And so this is a bill that's kind of been like stalled on the Senate side. You know, they just weren't willing to do this for a long time. Where does the bill stand in terms of Senate co-sponsorship status? Is this actually going to get through the legislature this year, do you think?
I don't think so. If I were being just completely honest, I would tell you that we have some blocks. This was a passion of the speakers. When I met with him a little over a year ago, we had all that controversy going on up here with one of the House members calling to action a bunch of people, trying to tell everybody we weren't pro-Second Amendment. But really, we knew if we had put a bill forward, it would completely fail, you know, going through the process. But we all agreed that we were going to work towards getting our Second Amendment rights back this session, the following session. So I would presume... I don't think it's going to get past the finish line this year. It might. You never know. Negotiations are always fun and exciting.
Sure.
But if it doesn't, I'm pretty sure that it's going to be a big point of contention next year because the speaker really wants to pull that portion back.
Yeah, you know, it seems like to me there's three main issues out there kind of ripe for the taking potentially on gun rights. One would be this one of lowering the age back to 18, which I absolutely support. The second one would be campus carry, because it's the same issue, right? It's, are you going to allow adults to be able to protect themselves, or are you going to make them dependent on this massive gun-free zone and hope that the campus cops are around to protect them?
Depend on the government.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then the other one would be open carry, which we've already got permitless carry coming this summer, and, you know, genuine open carry. Those, to me, are the three that are sort of big, ripe targets possibly left to do. And I don't know your position. I think you're in favor of open carry. I'm not sure about campus carry, though.
All the things.
I figured.
Just give it all to me. The campus carry is going to be a hard one, but we'll see how that goes in the future. But it's the whole thing is a lot. And with our mental health crisis that we have right now, it's hard to have a conversation about your gun rights because people consistently try to tie mental health with a gun. And those two are not the same. It's like telling your teacher, oh, I didn't fail the test. The pencil did. Hold on a minute. You made that choice. But at the same time, you know, it's a huge crisis and we need to address both of them, which I think we're doing a good job in Florida of trying to navigate that, fix what we did a few years ago, but also continue to invest in the future of mental health for our families.
Yesterday in the Senate, they had a big conversation about the resign to run portion of SB 7050, which is the election reforms package. And, you know, you had on the one hand Travis Hudson, who's running the bill on the Senate side, say, look, we just don't want to lose our governor if he happens to run for president and not win. And Jason Pizzo says, why are we making a special bill just for one person? Isn't it kind of already that law? You're working on this on the House side, though, right?
I am. And I'll tell you, there's a couple of things. One, the Senate version is for the president of the United States and vice president of the United States. What I'm going to be doing on the House side is expanding that to all state all state and local government officials or constitutional officers will be able to run for a federal office without having to resign. Currently, if you're a state senator, you technically have to resign to run for Congress. So the bill is more of a cleanup language. The term qualify is ambiguous in itself. Although we've had a lot of scholars and folks tell us, no, you don't really need to fix the law for the governor to run for president. We as a legislature have said, hold on a minute. If there's some issues that's coming up in these conversations, and mostly done by the media, maybe we should actually address this so that we don't have to depend on the courts to decide this should someone run for office in the future, not necessarily in the upcoming presidential cycle. So there's some good stuff coming from it. It's certainly a needed thing to do. We never really put our eye on it, not in the last few years anyway, but we have redone this law in the past 10 to 15 years several times, as early as 2018 when we revised it. But there's also another point that needs to be made. You know, everybody's shining a light on Florida because, you know, we're Florida and we have Governor DeSantis. But really what they need to be seeing is only four states in the United States have a resign to run law.
Interesting.
So it's not like we are doing something, out of the box and crazy. We're actually more stringent on what we allow in Florida than what most states in the United States do. So it's we're just simply opening that back up to and clarifying some of the language in the actual statute. But I like the idea of allowing a senator to be able to run for Congress without having to resign. So if Senator Brockson wanted to run for Congress, or, you know, we know he's not, but that's just an example.
Right.
He wouldn't have to resign from his seat.
No, so I agree. Because
they serve four-year terms. So my version just opens it up to everybody, but certainly clarifying some terminology for qualifying, because we don't, in state level and local level officials, we don't qualify the same as a presidential nominee does, because the party, the major parties decide who the nominees are. They do that. We don't, you know, in the state and local government, we have to file the oath of office. We have to do petitions. There's certain things that we have to do for us to qualify, but a federal candidate, they don't do it the same way. So we just clarify that in statute.
Yeah, and I like that. In fact, that's one of the things that Jason Pizzo made the comment. He's like, well, why don't we open it up to statewide? And you're like, okay. and I agree. I don't think we ought to have a resign to run law. I think that it's I understand the reason for it. You know, you don't want to have somebody win the advancing election and then you're out that seat and the people didn't get a chance to vote on the replacement until the special election. But generally speaking, I don't like the resign to run concept. So I'm glad you guys are cleaning that up. Hold on for me for just a second. We're talking to Michelle Salzman. Let's get Candy in here with traffic on the fives.
And it looks like everything is running smoothly, not showing any problems. 29 clear down to the split at Pace Palafox. And if you see an accident or have a traffic tip, 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Representative Salzman. Two bills I want to talk about. I hope I get a chance to do both of them. I may run out of time. But one, I definitely want to give you a chance to talk about your committee substitute for HB 1557, meaning it's gone through a bunch of iterations. This is to work on sexual exploitation and human trafficking. And what I want to know is anything you do in this realm, I know this is a passion for you. The hotels historically have been the real roadblock because they are opposed to all the changes. And they are a key, in my opinion, linchpin in solving this problem. What does your bill do and how have the hotels been taking it?
Well, my bill does a lot, but the most important piece of my bill is the fact that it actually puts teeth into statute. So currently in the entire United States, there's no regulation for adult safe houses. We have some regulation for child safe houses, but not adult safe houses. So we've been kind of willy-nilly in it, you know, all throughout America. Nobody has really stood up and said, okay, this is what we should be requiring if you call yourself a safe house. We have some of those parameters currently in place through DCF for the child safe houses. But even still, we're missing a lot of pieces in that, too. So this bill came from Senator Angolia. Blaze has been a dear friend of mine for a while. He lives in South Florida. There was an issue where a child was trafficked from a child from a youth safe home. And he called me and he was like, we can't let this happen again. We got to do something. So we called the AG. We sat down with her. This is one of her big priorities this year. So having it be the AG's big priority and, you know, starting this so early, we started it pretty early on in negotiations. we've been able to work through a lot of things you typically wouldn't work through. And being the vice chair of healthcare appropriations, seeing that this is going to cost around $1 million to launch, it was easy for me to say, hey, chair, I need a little bit of money to be allocated for this new bill that we're trying to get passed. And, you know, so just a lot of teamwork. But the pushback, and I'm not one of those people that does the little push button things, but the pushback was only Disney. I haven't heard from any other hotelier yet, although we just added some strong language in there, because as we started human trafficking laws requiring the signage and the training in the hotel rooms a couple years ago, or 3 years ago, every year they have doubled in non-compliance as far as training and signage goes. So for the most part, the hoteliers in the state of Florida are saying, yeah, okay, whatever, because there's no fines or anything. Initially, we launched it, and people kind of participated. We had about an 80% rate. But as we've moved on in years, their trick is slowly dwindling down and they're not doing anything. So now we're like, you know what? You're going to have 45 days to comply, or you're going to get a $2,000 fine every time you don't do it.
Good.
But we just added that component a couple weeks ago. So they haven't really had a chance to really freak out. But my only, the only hotelier quote, or, you know, that type of industry, was Disney. They came in and said, you're wanting us to put these signs at a spa, you know, our resorts, that would scare people away. And so I brought them in. We talked through it. We changed a little bit to make them feel a little more comfortable about it. I think they're happy now. But they were the only ones that came in against that piece of the bill so far. But we'll be pulling. The Senate version is on the floor, I think, today. And we'll be pulling exactly the language that they passed. We're going to bring it over, and I think that's what we're going to stick with.
Outstanding. Well, you have so many others that you're working on, and we're completely out of time. But Michelle Salzman, always good to talk to you as we start to wrap up session. Thanks especially for the work you're doing on the Indian bills and, you know, just and all the stuff on recall of county commissioners and partisan elections for school boards and
Absolutely.
Term limits for school board members. All of those things are good. Representative Michelle Salzman, District 1, the North, not two-thirds, let's say, of Escambia County. As always, a pleasure. Thanks for the work you do and the time.
Thank you. Have a good day.